This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with Siobhan Scott today in this segment. Siobhan, a psychotherapist and author of The Minds of Mass Killers, Understanding and Interpreting the Pathway to Violence. She's one of my favorite guests, and I want to dive in and get what's been sticking out to you as reviewing the trial of Lori Vallow-Daybell the last week that it has been in session. Thoughts?
The thing that really has been striking to me in listening to some of the testimony is how convinced Lori's friends were that this bizarre belief system was true.
Yeah.
You know, because when we hear this, there's no doubt that these are psychotic delusions. The whole thing about zombies and energy and keeping people on a scale of good to evil by, you know, how dark they are. This whole thing is so bizarre. It's delusional. But normally when we think of people with delusions, we think of the psychotic guy out on the street muttering to himself and talking to the air. And disorganized in his behavior, he's unkempt. And clearly with Chad and Lori, we see the delusions, but we see very organized, goal-directed behavior. These are not people that anybody would look at superficially and think they're crazy.
No.
But these beliefs were so crazy, and they were both so convincing for a certain kind of vulnerable person, if you want to say naive, needy, looking for a leader, whatever, that they could completely convince them of these strange things. And you know, we like to think that we can all be logical and rational and not be taken in like that. But when you hear these people on the stand, like Melanie Gibb, they look like normal people. It could be a neighbor. And yet these beliefs are so dangerous because when they got together, I think Chad and Lori amplified the worst in each other. So often at wedding ceremonies, you know, we'll hear people say, "You bring out the best of me." Uh-huh. Well, these two did the opposite. They brought out the worst of each other.
They did. They brought out the worst in each other, but it seemed to be the best for them. It was the worst for everyone in their path. But together, their insanity flourished in a way that I don't think it would have flourished had it not been those two toxic people together.
Exactly. Exactly. I really think it's quite possible if they had not hooked up and created this really elaborate system, I think that there may never have been any murders and all the people, all the bodies in the wake, you know, this would not have happened.
Let's talk about how someone gets to that point. And specifically, I want to talk about the friends. I think we've examined a lot with the Daybells, specifically on those two. I know, how did they get from point A to point B? But yeah, the friends, you're exactly right. That's been standing out to me too. In fact, I said in an earlier interview, it was just ridiculous. If you just were to tune into the testimony and not have any context, you'd be wondering, what on earth are we talking about here? One of the things that was said by, I believe it was the prosecution, when they were questioning Melanie Gibb, were you ever present when JJ would climb the walls and crawl on the ceiling?
No, I was not.
And I know at some point Melanie said, you know, this is a little bit too much, but it took a while. And that's the scary thing, is how fragile are people to continue relationships with others when they start saying things like this? Is this something that, you know, because they were tight, they were close, and you trust your friends, you trust the people you care about, and if they say something kind of extreme, you go along with it? Is this just like someone like Melanie that was ripe for the picking? Or are more people, are we that fragile and easy to fall into something like this as people?
It's really, really remarkable and rather frightening at the same time, because Melanie is certainly someone that, as I say, could be a neighbor and you'd wave and say hi and you wouldn't think there's a crazy lady. But the things she went along with, these were crazy things. And one of the quotes I wrote down from her was, Melanie said, "Lori could be very convincing."
Uh-huh.
Lori was very confident. And there seems to be something with people who are looking for leaders, and the qualities that they look for are somebody who is very convincing, someone who's got the answers to all of life's questions, somebody who's dominating. And so there do appear to be people who are just, you know, more in the follower category, who really can be manipulated and exploited. And, you know, it's remarkable that someone like Melanie could be that naive and follow to the degree that she did. But at some point, things started to not add up to her. And there was enough dissonance that she was able to start questioning. And, you know, unfortunate that it took that long. But we get into this line of, when is there a demarcation between religion and odd religion and then crazy, you know? And that's something, there's certainly a lot of gray area there. And how do we know when people's religious beliefs have really turned into something dangerous? And I think we need to explore that more as a culture, you know, because we certainly see with the doomsday kinds of beliefs, these conferences that were going on that they attended all around the end of the world, you see more fringe kind of behavior with people who are into that. But there are more conventional religious groups who lean toward that way of thinking as well. And so it's sort of a slippery slope when people lose their foundation of what's real and what isn't real, how they can gradually be pulled into something that's quite dangerous and very much of a cult.
And it's weird how we can have religious organizations that have a lot of very magical thinking that goes on within them. And then we have this version of it here with Chad and Lori. And if you look at it, there is certainly more extreme beliefs, I guess, than the average church would have. But all rely on some sort of a faith tenet of you have to believe something that is, we can't really prove it to you, but we're going to say it. We're going to say this book tells us about it, or we're going to, if the book doesn't tell us about it, we're going to say we got this message about it, and we're going to tell. And it's a scary thing because this is, we look at it and go, oh, they're casting out demons. That was a big thing of the trial these last couple of weeks or last week, where they went to castings where they were trying to cast demons out that they deemed were in their people that they cared about, that they lived with, that they loved. And the friends would go along with things like this. But where does the line change? Where does it go from this is a religious belief to this is a very dangerous line of thinking or magical thinking?
Yeah, it's really hard to know where that line is, because sometimes it's a very gradual progression. The thing for me that is always the clearest line is, are these beliefs hurting people or are they helping them? Are they helping them love their children better? Are they helping them have stability? Are they building bonds within the family? Or are they causing damage? Are they causing people to actually abuse their children, even when they don't realize that's what they're doing? And I think when we look at it that way, it's pretty easy to differentiate a system that's actually benign and helping people, even though it may be based on some odd beliefs, versus something that's causing people, let's say in the faith healing community, parents that have a diabetic child, and because of their strong belief in supernatural healing, the child becomes sick and dies because they refuse to give them insulin. Yeah. You know, so there's definitely a gray zone in there. But I think when we can make a hard judgment call is when people are being harmed. And clearly with Chad and Lori, this bizarre belief system harmed all kinds of people, including them, because they're on trial for murder now.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, thank you so much for your insight on that. If you like the show, press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any breaking updates and discussions on the cases we're following for you right here. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.